Well, for his sports fans, football fans, the sun came out today. It was a rough weekend, we know, for a Minnesota football teams. Gophers lose, the Vikings, we know what happened yesterday. To break down those games and much more is the voice of Golden Gopher Athletics and the sports director at the Minnesota News Network, our good friend Mike Graham. And Mike, a good morning, or good afternoon, I should say. And yeah, it wasn't the best weekend if you're a Minnesota football fan.
Man, it sure wasn't. Good to chat with you, Aaron. Yeah, it looked like it was headed toward a good start, though. The Gophers in that fourth quarter twice looked to be heading in for what would have been game-winning scores, and both times they coughed it up. We talked about it last week a little bit. The Iowa defense does that to teams. I did not think it would happen. I really didn't. I think Mo Ibrahim has three, maybe four career fumbles, and he fumbles right there at the 10-yard line. At a minimum, a chip shot field goal. If he makes the first down, it's first and goal. And that's fumbled. Minnesota forces a punt. It's a short punt from their punter, who's an All-American. Good field position. Mo breaks another nice run, getting close to field goal range. And the coaching staff does what everybody thought they should have earlier in the game and threw the football. And the throw was off, ricochets off the hands of a receiver and into an Iowa linebacker, and the rest is history. They make a nice play. They make a nice pass completion, and they wind the clock down and win it and beat Minnesota for an 8th straight time. So, yeah, it was looking great. It looked like it was going to be the start of a special weekend maybe, and it turned out that that game was spoiled, and then nothing was good for the Vikings yesterday. Everyone uses the word unbelievable about just about anything, but that really was, to me, unbelievable. I did not at any way think that that's how that game would unfold. I think we talked last week. I said I'm not big on the Cowboys. I think they're fine, but they're not, you know, a juggernaut. Can't believe they're favored. And, boy, was that apparently, at least for that day, wrong.
Now, Mike, let's start with the Gophers game. And, again, you mentioned the two big plays in the fourth quarter. And I don't think anybody, as a Gophers fan, is blaming Mo for that fumble, because you want to talk about your workhorse. Did he have, like, 35 carries? I mean, did you remember offhand what his stat line is? Because he was the reason the Gophers were in that game.
Yeah, no doubt. 40. He had 40 carries, 263 yards. I think I read it's the most yards a running back has had against Iowa since, I think, some dude from Northern Illinois back in the 90s. You know, we went back in the record books as far as 2000 and then just gave up during the broadcast. We're like, geez, when's the last time? So we're scanning through on the computer, looking through box scores, and it's like, yeah, this is a historic moment, a historic effort, and this is against one of the top run defenses in the country. If there was one thing that Iowa folks thought they would do is shut down Ibrahim and make it a low-scoring game. They did not shut down Ibrahim, but they still, as that defense does, made it a low-scoring game. And Minnesota missed a chip-shot field goal in the first half. And I think if there's a common theme, I'm going to go check this week when I got some time. But just off the top of my head, if there's a common theme in why Minnesota has not been able to beat Iowa, it's that throughout most of the season, both those teams, Minnesota does not settle for field goals. If they get the red zone, oftentimes they are in the end zone. They had only, I think, attempted on average like just over one field goal a game. Iowa, on the other hand, kicks a lot of field goals. Their offense has not been very good even when they get in the red zone. But when they play Minnesota and when Minnesota plays Iowa, that table gets turned. And Minnesota's attempting way too many field goals, and Iowa's scoring way too many touchdowns. It happened in 2019 in Iowa City. It happened last year in Iowa City, and it happened Saturday in Minneapolis. And you just can't – that's what that Iowa defense does. When they have a short field, they're very good. They're always in the right spot. There's not a lot there. You got to overpower them, and they're very powerful. That said, the way Ibrahim was running, I think if you could nitpick, you might nitpick some of the play calling on the on the missed field goal and on the made field goal. Both of those, there were opportunities there. And on third and one, they decided to throw the ball partially because I think they had no timeouts late and felt like if they ran it and got the first down, could the clock wind out? I would not have done it that way, but again, I'm not the coach. There was 40-plus seconds left, plenty of time to get a couple of plays off. They chose to throw. on third and one when they were running the ball very well, and then didn't go for it on fourth and one because, you know, it was right before half, and then they missed a field goal. And then they had it second and six down there at like the 11 or 12-yard line and threw twice instead of as Mo just carried it down. And then you get to the fourth quarter, Mo carries it all the way down, and then they keep handing it to him, and he coughs it up. So it was just one of those days, just one of those days. That was an 88-yard drive that came up empty, and the missed field goal was a 70-plus-yard drive that came up empty. So rough day. I mean, they played well. They had 399 yards against one of the best defenses in the country, but just couldn't get points on the board, and it makes it a bitter. I was pretty bitter Saturday afternoon, I can tell you that.
13-10, Iowa with the victory. They keep the pig for the eighth straight time, like Mike mentioned. Here on a Mike Graham Monday, and now you got Wisconsin coming up on Saturday. A 2:30 kickoff. We'll have all the action for you right here on Kate. And it's still us and the Badgers, but I don't think it's got the same feel. Yes, we want to keep the axe, and it's a rival game. But coming off a loss like that, the excitement, I think, is definitely diminished going into the last regular season game.
No question. No doubt. This was, I think we had talked about this last week. The Gophers had not won the Axe and the Pig in the same year since 1990. And this is probably because Iowa is not great this year. They're going to win the West, but doesn't mean they're a great team. It's not one of the real good Kirk Ferentz teams. Defensively, it certainly is, but the offense has been so bad all year that this was a chance to win that game if you're Minnesota. And Wisconsin, a similar deal. They fired their coach. Their offense isn't very good. Their defense is pretty good, but not one of the great Wisconsin defenses. And so there's still a chance to split that. You can still win eight games. You know, 10 years from now, you look back at the media guide and see, basically it's another eight-win season. And those, are fine. Those are okay. But given how the season unfolded, given what the schedule was like, I looked this morning. I had forgotten about this. And it's going to be one of those years that was. And Purdue, I think if they have Ibrahim, they beat Purdue, and who knows where it goes. But that started that three-game skid. The Gophers are an underdog Saturday at Wisconsin. And it's only the second time they've been an underdog. They've been favored in 10 of the 12 games. And so that means they're going to be, they have suffered at the hands of two upsets. And so it's their turn to pull an upset. And hopefully they can do this Saturday. It will, I think, relieve some of the sting if you can keep the axe. That's an important thing. If no other reason, just to have it, just to have bragging rights for three of the last 5 years, recruiting. All those things, it's important. You get eight wins, you get a chance for nine. Nine-win seasons don't grow on trees around Minnesota very often. And so there's some things to salvage, but I agree with you. I would not be surprised. I mean, I'm thinking off the top of my head, outside of the COVID year, when the last time this game went late in the year and had nothing on the line in terms of, either Wisconsin could go to the Big Ten West title game or the winner would go to the Big Ten West title game. And this is a year last year, Minnesota didn't have anything on the line, but if Wisconsin won, they were going to go. And if Minnesota won, then Iowa went. So there's just nothing. There's nothing on the line. So I would not be surprised to see, depending on what the weather's like, a few empty seats in Madison, because I'm sure they're a little down on their team as well, as they barely beat Nebraska last week.
I was looking at the secondary ticket sites just out of curiosity. And if you've ever wanted to go to Madison to watch a game, the Badgers and the Gophers, and not pay an arm and a leg for it, Saturday would be the time to do it. Tickets are actually pretty reasonable if you want to plan a road trip out there on Saturday. Now, with Iowa's win, Mike, are they in control now of winning the Big Ten West? Did I hear that correctly? If they win, they win the West?
Yep. If they beat Nebraska on Black Friday, they will go to Indy for a second straight year. And who would have figured that a month ago when they were sitting at 1-3 in the Big Ten and couldn't move the ball? And they still don't move the ball very well, although they're tight ends certainly against the Gophers. Gophers have had a struggle with the tight ends. I got to give Iowa's coaching staff credit. They watched enough tape, and Minnesota just has struggled against tight ends this year. The Penn State exposed that. I'm frankly a little surprised more teams since Penn State didn't. Iowa did. And, boy, I think the tight ends combined for 10 catches and nearly 200 yards against Minnesota. And their best tight end was injured in the first half, but it didn't matter. And that was a big play to the tight end to set up the game-winning field goal after the interception. So, yeah, who would have figured it? But, yeah, the Hawkeyes, if they take care of business, it's a home game at Kinnick. You know that will be full. That will get them to Indy. And Nebraska, also not a very good team. They will be going to Iowa City. So could Nebraska spoil the party? If they do, if Nebraska beats Iowa, then Purdue would control its own destiny. And if Purdue beats Indiana, they would go to the Big Ten West. So Purdue also could tie for the championship, and then they could win it outright and go if Iowa is upset by Nebraska.
Voice of Golden Gopher Athletics, sports director at the Minnesota News Network, a Mike Grimm Monday here on Kate Radio. And Mike, let's talk about the men's basketball team. They're out west in California for a tournament that starts tonight. We'll have all the action for you here on KETE. You're not going to hear from Mike out in California. We talked about this off the air. I was going to make a lot of fun of you that you're in the sunshine enjoying a beautiful California morning, but when Mike is here in the state of Minnesota, yeah, because, you know, those bugs are still going around. It's that time of the season where people are sharing those bugs.
Yeah, it stinks. I was looking forward to it as well. The Gopher basketball team is in San Juan Capistrano, California. We've known about that trip for a couple of years, and they're at a great hotel, and I've already gotten some pictures. So what happened, Aaron, was if people listen to my broadcast on Thursday night at Williams Arena when the Gopher basketball team played Central Michigan, I started to lose my voice. And I don't know if that happens to you. It happens to me about once a year where a cold kind of comes on. You feel a little tickle in the throat.
Absolutely, yep.
And so, you know, you're pounding the cough drops, and I drink a lot of tea and everything else. And the thing was, it kind of caught me off guard. I felt fine all day. Voice was good, doing sportscasts for MNN. Got to the arena, and then just started to feel a little tickle in my throat. And by the end of the game, I didn't have much of a voice left. But I felt okay about Saturday's game because I just didn't, you know, sometimes it comes with congestion and everything else, but I felt fine. Spencer was fine. And so was working on, you know, Friday, just drinking tea and making sure the voice was good for the football game Saturday, because I sure didn't want to miss that. And I'm trying to remember the timeline. I don't remember, but I got a text at the football game that Spencer Tollickson popped a fever. And so because of that, tested, and he was positive for COVID. And so, of course, they said, hey, before you go to California and join the team, you better test as well, since you were around him all that time. And I tested, and I felt good outside of the tingly voice. No headache, no fever. My throat wasn't even sore. It was just, you know, kind of a laryngitis almost. And then I got through the football game fine. The voice wasn't 100%, but I don't think people probably noticed. You know, I tried to control it, as you know, how that goes when you're going. But I didn't feel terrible. No fever, no headache, no cough, nothing. So when I got home, I drove over to the pharmacy, grabbed a test, and much to my surprise, I too was positive. So Spencer and I are both staying here in Minnesota, and Tanner Hoops, our volleyball voice, hopped a flight last night, and he'll have the game tonight and on Wednesday. So I'm stuck feeling fine in my room here at my house in the Twin Cities.
Mike, give us a preview of this tournament. Now, it's a four-team tournament, so the winners, there's two games tonight. The winners will match up on Wednesday. The losers will match up on Wednesday as well. California, no, what is it? California Baptist? Did I get that right?
Yep. Yep, California Baptist. They go by Cal Baptist.
Okay,
that's who the Gophers play tonight. That's a 9:30 tip. Pregame with Tanner Hoops, our volleyball guy, will be at 9. And Cal Baptist is actually a favorite in this game. They're out of the WAC. They have a bunch of transfers that have come in. They beat Washington out of the Pac-12. Washington have been 3-0, and they beat them last week by like 9 or 10 points. And so the Gophers will have their work cut out for them. The other two teams on the it's kind of a weird deal. There's 8 teams total, but it's not an 8-team tournament. They have 2 separate tournaments called the SoCal Challenge. And so on the Minnesota bracket, it's UNLV and Southern Illinois. And Southern Illinois has an upset as well this year. UNLV is, you know, who they usually are. So the winners of those two will play then on Wednesday night, and the losers will play on Wednesday night / Thursday morning. That will be a midnight Minnesota tip. So if the Gophers don't win tonight, they'll play at midnight Wednesday going into Thanksgiving Thursday. So if you're a diehard, you'll have to stay up. We'd love for you to listen to Tanner and the Gopher Radio Network. It's just for people who want to find it on TV. It's on CBS Sports Network, which most cable outlets have. It's a pretty good network, and so that's how you'll see the games.
Mike, heal up so you're ready for the battle for the axe coming up on
Yeah,
Saturday.
I feel good. You know, I feel good. That's the good news. You know, the bad news is I was joking yesterday with my wife. I said, God, it's a bummer. I'm feeling good. I can do these games. I feel physically able. I'm not sick. I don't have a headache. And she says, well, it's a bummer, except that the good news is you have COVID and you don't have all those things.
Yeah,
that's
correct.
True. It would be worse to... You know, Spencer did fight it. He was not feeling well on Friday and Saturday. I texted with him yesterday, and he was feeling better. Stuffy nose and congestion and a fever and different things. But I think he's through the worst of it. So I'm glad I have fought that part of it off, at least knock on wood, through now. So I appreciate it. And, I think we should be, knock on wood, good to go for the football game in Madison Saturday.
Mike Grimm Monday here on Kate Radio. And Mike, before I let you go, we do have to touch on the Vikings game, which in all honesty, there's really not a whole lot to break down in my mind, because sometimes, and we all go through this as, you know, as human beings, sometimes you have a good day, sometimes you have a bad day at work, and sometimes it's the worst day you've ever had at work and you just want to go home when it's 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's what happened to the Vikings yesterday. They had a really, really bad day at work. And Dallas, I think, kind of a desperate Dallas team. And this is what scared me about this game, is that the Packers came back and beat Dallas the week before, because you knew the Cowboys coming in, they were a desperate team needing a win. The Vikings, and I saw this on Twitter, someone compared this to the playoffs when we had the Minneapolis Miracle, such an emotional win, like an emotional win against Buffalo last week. They went to Philadelphia and had a complete letdown. That's kind of what happened at the bank yesterday.
Yeah, I think all of that is true. And then I think that you tip your cap to the Cowboys as well. They put a defensive game plan together that the Vikings had no answer in blocking. And then, you know, they lost their starting left tackle, and that hurt, because, you know, it just does. It matters. And so the Cowboys certainly tried to exploit that. And then the Vikings also – not that Cam Dantzler's an all-pro or anything, and he's had his struggles, but no doubt that his absence also factored in, because the guy taking his spot, Booth Jr., was picked on all day long.
Yep.
And then they also had, like what the Hawkeyes did to to Minnesota with the tight ends matching up on linebackers, the Cowboys did the same a couple of times with Tony Pollard lining up with linebackers. And, boy, Dak Prescott made a couple of good throws. And, you know, I've watched the Cowboys. As I mentioned, I think, with you last week, I wasn't that impressed with them. They've been fine. But, boy, they were really good yesterday. And Dak Prescott made some throws. And I didn't realize how fast Tony Pollard was, man. He got his hands on the ball, and he was flying. So they're obviously a pretty good team. And, again, here's the thing. Kirk Cousins talked about it postgame. You know, it counts as one. It's one loss. They're 0-1 for that game. Whether it's 37 points or 7 points or 1 point, it's still a loss, and you can't let it get to you to the point where you're like, oh, holy cow, this is a we're terrible now, or the Cowboys are for sure going to win the Super Bowl. It's a week to week proposition. It's a balanced league, and now you got to turn around and play a gritty New England team. That's going to be a little more limited at quarterback, but boy, are they good on defense. And you got to wonder what Bill Belichick, now watching what Dallas did, what kind of things he'll concoct. So short turnaround. Every player, though, yesterday seemed to say, you know, we want this bad taste out of our mouth. We play. We're ready. We're glad that it's a short turnaround, ready to get going Thursday night. And we'll see where it goes.
Sometimes the magic runs out. And as a Vikings fan, I mean, there has been some magical endings. There's no doubt about that. And I think in the long run, and you know me, I'm always positive when it comes to the Vikings. In the long run, this might be the best thing that could have happened to them, to show that, you know what, if you really want to be a Super Bowl contender, there are still a lot of things we have to get better at. And I think the Cowboys exposed that. And I truly believe in the long run, this is going to come back and be beneficial, as weird as that might sound.
Yeah, it could. No, that's happened with teams before, and it also could, you know, it could show them too that this is the importance of each week. You know, each week is its own entity, and anything can happen. No one really thought this would happen, so this proves that anything can happen. And I'd even say if later on you get into the playoffs, you could call on this game. Let's say you're an underdog playing Philly. You already lost to Philly. You just say, look, no one thought Dallas would hang 40 on anybody, right, on us especially. So there's always a chance of the unexpected. So, yeah, I don't disagree. And you mentioned the magic runs out. That is the fear. You see this sometimes where teams get on a nice roll. They're riding this emotion. Everything's going right. They're getting some breaks. They're playing good. And then you hit the train runs off the tracks. And in this case, it really derailed.
Yep.
Can you get it back on? Because you don't want one loss to turn into two. Like yesterday's loss can't turn into two or three because you're worried about it. But if it does, at some point got to survive it, because we've seen that, right, where teams have been on this ride and then the magic runs out, as you say, and it's hard to get the magic back. So that, to me, that's the fear. If I had one fear about the future, the good news is they've got, you know, the train would really have to derail not to win the division and get into the postseason. And as we've always said, you just want a chance to get into the tournament, because at that point then it's fresh life for everybody. But I hope that it doesn't, whatever, because confidence is a weird thing. And if they can't keep the quarterback upright all of a sudden, and that's a blueprint, now you got some problems. So hopefully the magic has not run out. That would be my concern, that all of a sudden the momentum shifts a different way. But they can all make it better with a win on Thanksgiving, that's for sure.
Mike Grimm, Monday, the voice of Golden Gopher Sports, and of course, sports director, Minnesota News Network, joins us each Monday again. Tanner Hoops, which is a great last name to call a basketball game tonight.
Yeah.
He's going to be in California pregame at 9, tip-off at 9:30. We'll have Tanner sometime in the late hours coming up on Wednesday, and then Mike will be with us. It's a 2:30 kickoff in Madison on Saturday, pregame at 12:30. All the action right here on Kate. And Mike, again, I'm sorry that you're not in California. I guess enjoy your isolation as much as possible. Have a good trip to Madison, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good, Aaron. Thank you. Always enjoy it.